60 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
And good morning. This is Trish Clark. This is KCNR 1460 AM Radio, Free Fire Radio. If you want to join us, you can call us at 530-605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. It's Monday. So you say, what in the world is Trish Clark doing there on a Monday? Well, Carl and Linda are off on their cruise, and so we're going to be have the show all this week, and it's going to be myself, Trish Clark, and I'm joined here as co-host Ken Murray. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Trish. And it's a great day to be living here in the heart of Superior, California.
Of course it is.
My morning is now complete.
Okay, so we've started off. Now everybody knows who's here. And we're going to go to Wells Fargo Advisors for a Market Minute.
And we have Chris Lasondak to bring us this Market Minute. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, everyone. Well, we're a little over a half an hour into a new trading week, and the markets are in positive territory. Where currently the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 129 points at 16,792. The S&P 500 adding 11 points at 1966, while the NASDAQ Composite's up 30 points at 4495. Volume on the New York Stock Exchange is 88 million shares. Looking at some of the more active issues on the New York Stock Exchange this morning, General Electric up 31 cents at 25.94, Bank of America up 13 cents at 15.35, Dollar General up $5.48 at 62.95, and JCPenney adding 13 cents at 9.63. Of local interest, PG&E down 8 cents at 45.12, Safeway's up 4 cents at 34.64, Tri-County's Bank up 22 cents at 22.54, and Smith & Wesson Holding Company up 10 cents at $13.02. In the bond market, the 10-year U.S. government bond is priced to yield 2.37%. The 2-year Treasury is yielding 0.41. Oil's down $1.44 a barrel at $93.88. And precious metals are lower, with gold down $8.69 an ounce at $12.95.70. Silver's down 2 cents at $19.56. This is Chris Lasondak at the Rating Office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
And thank you very much, Chris. Listen for the Wells Fargo Market Minute, weekday morning, 7, 10, 8, 10, and 9.05 here on KCNR, brought to you by Wells Fargo Advisors on Park Marina Drive in Reading. Give them a call at 243-7561. Checking the weather, sunny and hot, high in 97, but it looks like we will be staying out of the century range. Overnight lows will be in the 60s. That's going to continue throughout the week. Currently, we have 64 degrees in Reading, and this report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. They offer senior and veterans discounts. 365-3793, Shasta Gas Propane. Now, back to Trish Clark and Ken Murray.
And good morning, everyone. And we are joined by a guest this morning. So, Ken, you've lined up all these guests, and he's so organized, unlike me, who walks in here and doesn't have any idea who the guests are usually. I actually have a list for the whole week.
Well, somebody has to know what's going on.
Well, yeah, exactly. So we're a good friend of mine. We're joined this morning by Health and Human Services Agency Director, Donnell Ewart. Good morning, Donnell.
Good morning.
You know, I've been wanting to talk to you, Donnell. I went on your website, and in 2012, which is the last reporting you have on your website, you describe a typical week in Shasta County. Typical week has 41 births, 38 deaths. Of the 38 deaths, 8 are from cancer, 5 from heart disease, 3 from chronic lower respiratory disease, 2 are unintended injuries or accidents, I guess, 1 suicide, and less than 1 homicide every week. That's a lot of people dying from stuff rather than old age. Does anybody around here die from old age instead of cancer, heart disease, or chronic lower respiratory disease?
Well, people die of all sorts of things at different ages, so that would include people who are older. A lot of people who are older die of heart disease and cancer. Mm-hmm. Most people don't just die in their sleep of nothing.
Uh-huh.
Chronic diseases account for about 80% of the deaths in Shasta County, and a significant number of those are cancer, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, liver disease, those sorts of ailments.
Okay.
So why would your webpage have that kind of information? Tell us a little bit about what Health and Human Services Agency entails.
Okay. Back in 2006, the Board of Supervisors approved the merger of three departments that were separate at the time, public health, mental health, social services, and created a super agency, it's called. And Marta McKenzie, the first director of the agency, sort of reinvented how the county does those services for the public and combined all of the services that serve adults, for example, and created an adult services branch, and all the services that serve children and combined a children's services branch. The reason being, the general public doesn't really care about our bureaucratic categories and how we're funded by the state. They care
only
about
what they have to pay for.
Yeah, they do. They do care about that. But if they're looking for services, they probably prefer to have them in a convenient way where they can get everything in one place rather than, well, you know, for this particular thing, if you want in-home support services, you got to go to this office. And if you want to get a mental health services, you have to go to this other office. Or if you need alcohol and drug services, another one. The idea being, look, you know, a person may need all of those things. Let's try to provide those in one place and put them under the authority of a single person who can organize them to serve adults. Same thing with children. Most of the foster children in our system, they need mental health services, unfortunately, due to the trauma they've experienced. Why should the mental health services be in one department and the social services, the child welfare part, be in another one? Let's put that together. We can serve the child better that way.
One of the other reasons I wanted to talk to you this morning is it's back to school week around Shasta County. And back to school week brings back to diseases time for parents of back to schoolers. You know, stuff like hand, foot, and mouth disease, 20 different viruses that cause colds, respiratory viruses, strep throat, and lice. And folks, if your kid went to school today, check them beginning immediately.
You haven't lived until you've gone through the lice, and we all did if you had kids in school.
Right. So prevention for most of those things is washing your hands. You know, it's pretty simple. Obviously getting kids to wash their hands is not simple, but that's the key to preventing a lot of transmission of infectious agents. For the lice, one of the best things to do is convince your kids not to share hats with their friends. That's one way that, or hair brushes or hair bows or hair ties, all those things, you know, try to keep your child supplied with their own things that they can use, and then they won't be as likely to get lice.
And don't have any of them come over and spend the night on the front room floor with blankets.
Wait a minute. Are you trying to prevent children from bonding?
Make sure they don't have lice when they come to your house and sleep in the sleeping bags and blankets. Trust me.
But one other thing I want to say about infectious diseases is a growing number of parents are choosing not to vaccinate their children against childhood diseases, and the percentage continues to grow. It's, I think, in the range of 8% now of children in Shasta County in our schools are not vaccinated, and there are other parts of the state that are much higher. I think Nevada County, it's like 17% or something like that, and Ashland, Oregon's like a third. So this is a problem because a lot of parents of school-aged children have never seen childhood diseases because they've been eradicated by vaccination, and so they're thinking that the side effects of vaccines might be more of a risk than the diseases themselves, which is perhaps a somewhat rational thing to think. However, if a significant number of children are not vaccinated, it's only a matter of time before we have an outbreak, and then all these parents are going to be seeing these diseases. And so we really want to encourage parents to take their children to their doctor and get them vaccinated against all those childhood diseases so that our whole community can be safe. Because there are some children who can't get vaccinated for medical reasons, and they're counting on everybody else being immune so those diseases can't get a foothold.
Well, and this is only being exaggerated by the fact that you're having so many people come in from other countries We don't have the requirements any longer that those people be vaccinated or go through health screening. They go into our system. They go into our schools. They've got everything under the sun they're bringing from other colored countries. So we're having diseases we haven't dealt with in years start up again in the United States.
Well, and we have a pertussis whooping cough outbreak in California right now.
But I think I think it's even simpler than that. School-age children have parents who grew up without the problems that I grew up with. I mean, in the little town I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley of California, one girl, actually my cousin, 8 years old, died of polio in an iron lung in her living room down the street. Two other kids who lived across the street from me, I don't know what they had, but the health department went out and slapped quarantine signs on their house like they were radioactive or something. I mean, I haven't seen a quarantine sign on a house in 50 years, but that used to be one of the things that people did. I mean, polio's gone away because of vaccinations, okay? A lot of these things, I mean, I had measles, mumps, you name it, every childhood disease you can think of, chicken pox, I had it all, you know. And yet kids today often don't have any of that stuff. And, I mean, kids today are the parents of the school kids. They didn't have any of that stuff. But I had all that stuff. And I'm here to tell you that if you had chicken pox, you're probably going to get shingles when you're older, and you'd rather cut your head off than get shingles, okay? Get vaccinated. It's not that big a deal. What drives this anti-vaccination movement?
Well, you know, there are some side effects to vaccines, but they're extremely rare. You know, it might be like one in a million occurrence. And we have a surveillance system for that, and people are compensated for it. But the diseases themselves actually are more common. Like I said, we have a whooping cough outbreak right now in California, and children, infants die of whooping cough. And I think that folks just don't know what these diseases look like.
You know, we're having a great time talking here. Ken and I are just going on, and we've just passed right by a break. So, Bob, you think it's time to go and take a break?
I do believe it. I do believe that it might be.
Okay,
time
so we'll be right back after these words.
Charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, go to jail and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pause it, push it, cross it, crack it, switch up, fade it, name it, rate it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, punch, rename it, touch it, print it, pay it, watch it, technologic, one more time.
As we girls get older, our eyesight weakens. This requires larger diamonds.
Shop the Goldmark annual estate sale going on now with thousands of vintage, unique, and one-of-a-kind jewelry items. Special six-month deferred interest financing is available. Like us on Facebook for daily specials, and be sure to sign up in the store for your chance to win a free one-ounce gold bar. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. The Goldmark annual estate sale. Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Rumor has it, Lulu established a roadhouse to provide good food and drinks in a relaxing atmosphere at affordable prices. Today, Lulu's continues the tradition, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with specials posted daily. Lulu's Catering serves special events at your site or in their banquet room with customized menus to fit your budget. And they have the best Bloody Mary in town. Find Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment on Pine Street, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again. Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Looking for an unusual quality piece of jewelry? Do you have a wristwatch or timepiece that needs to be repaired and you don't know where to go to? Well, Four Winds Jewelry is the place. They have the only watch repair technician in town. Four Winds Jewelry is located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. And Four Winds Jewelry are the experts in gold or loose stones, opals, estate jewelry, or Native American pieces.
Go in and see Leonard and his associates. Four Winds Jewelry, meeting all your jewelry needs. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4 p.m. 222-2750.
Four Winds Jewelry.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget Brew.
Yes, Brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with sit-down dinner, live and silent auction, and basket drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
This portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Orchard Nutrition, the North State's nutrition experts with the largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. They've got an in-store deli, four nutritionists on staff to assist you, and also offer classes on health, diet, and raw and organic food. Those are just some of the reasons to shop for Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Give them a call at 244-9141. Orchard Nutrition, your center for a healthy lifestyle.
And welcome back. We are Trish Clark and Ken Murray, and we're KCNR Radio, Free Fire Radio. We've got Donnell Ewart here this morning from the Health and Human Services Department. If you've got a question, call us at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com.
I have something I read, Donnell, that says about teaching kids to wash their hands, that to effectively get rid of most of the germs, just tell them to wash their hands while they sing through Happy Birthday twice. That takes about 20 seconds, and that kills most of the germs. Is it the hot water or the soap that does it?
Well, it's a friction mainly, you know, that gets germs off your hands.
So it isn't the water temperature.
Well, you know, the water temperature just helps lose, you know, warmer water is going to get stuff off faster. Dirt, you know, I don't know about germs, but dirt. Mm-hmm. And but it's the friction, it's the and the soap, of course, loosens up dirt and so forth, but I think it's mainly friction.
Okay. And sing Happy Birthday twice.
That makes sense to me.
Just anything to keep in mind. We do have a caller on the line, and we're going to go to the line. It's Kay. Good morning, Kay.
Hi, Trish. Hi, Ken.
Hi.
First of all, people who are coming to the United States in order to get a visa and to come in legally still have to have physicals and be checked out.
Correct.
I understand that, but we got
it's
a whole lot
illegals.
More of them coming
it's
illegally that aren't. Yeah, and they are at schools.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the many problems with illegal immigration.
Well, okay, you know, they keep talking ad nauseum that we need a new immigration bill, and quite frankly, we don't. All we need to do is enforce the one we've got.
Precisely, as a retired immigration officer, that's what we need, enforcement.
Because we have a really good immigration system, but that's
right,
a good point.
And I think what we need to do is enforce the laws we have, and then if there are problems, then deal with those one by one on a case by case.
Okay.
Good point.
And as far as vaccines, I mean, the way the Record Searchlight talks about it, it makes us look, if people aren't having their children vaccinated, that it's like they're ignorant. But actually, a lot of it is very educated people who are involved in that because of different problems that they've observed with their children or experienced themselves. And frankly, we'll never be able to know exactly what vaccinations do to people until we can get a tort reform.
Well, wait a minute. I know that vaccines got rid of polio.
Well, yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no?
Yes and no.
Anybody in town got polio now?
No.
Well,
but
there you go.
But there were places that also that didn't vaccine that got rid of it too. Sometimes it's connected with the climate. There are seasons for diseases too.
Well, in the case of polio, vaccination was an incredibly important part of the effort, and we had an oral polio vaccine, which actually goes through the intestines and into the environment, and it replaces the wild virus with the vaccine virus, which doesn't give people polio, so it was actually changing the ecology of the disease. But sanitation also played a role in eradicating polio. But you made a good point. Some people didn't get vaccinated, and that's why we need the vast majority of people to be vaccinated, because that does provide herd immunity or community immunity against diseases, so that it can't move, or the virus can't get established. So people that don't get vaccinated actually get protected by the people who do. But if that number goes down too low, then we're going to be in trouble.
But I think now that the babies leave the hospital with more vaccinations than I had growing up. And I think maybe they've done an overkill on them, sort of cried wolf a little bit.
Well, a lot of people think a baby, you know, can't take all of those vaccines, but a baby comes into the world not immune to anything other than what they got in passive immunity from their mothers. And they are bombarded with all kinds of infectious agents besides vaccines. So the vaccines really are a small number compared to all the infectious agents that they're developing immunity to. And babies can handle it. They've got an immune system that's tailor-made for that.
Well, as a person who had a bad reaction from the hepatitis B when I was working for the immigration service, I have a totally different thought than I used to have on the whole thing. And I'd like to be able to have it studied, but if they found out that what I have really came from the hepatitis B series, then people would start suing. And you know, they weren't doing it to be malicious. They were doing it to help us, to protect us. Even though we didn't deal with blood, we did deal with perspiration.
This goes back to your comment about tort reform, and that's a valid thing. They can't really, as long as people want to sue over everything they find out about, and immediately it's fine, as soon as we find out we've done something a little bit wrong, everybody gets in a class action lawsuit. You're right. Yeah. You probably never will get to the end of it.
Right.
Thanks very much, Kay, for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, I'm under the impression that in order for a young person to be in a public high school, they have to be vaccinated. Is that correct here in Shasta County?
It is correct that in order to get into school, you're supposed to have certain vaccinations. However, there is a personal belief exemption that parents can sign that exempts them from that. And there was a law passed several years ago that required parents to go to a physician to actually have a discussion about the value of vaccines and have the physician sign that before they could sign the personal belief exemption. But there is an exemption to that as well for religious belief. So if you have religious reasons for not being vaccinated, and I should say that almost no church actually has official policies like that, then you can just sign the paper and take it to the school.
I want to get into something else. We're gonna take a break here shortly at the bottom of the hour, but I want to talk with you a little bit about the homeless problem in our community, specifically interagency cooperation and things we can do. I had an interesting conversation with Francie Sullivan last week, and the suggestion was that instead of solving the whole homeless problem, which seems overwhelming, why don't we just solve it for veterans? Just solve it. Just take the first bite for veterans only, and then let it work up from there.
Why don't we come to that right after we take a break at the half hour here, and because that's a big subject. So we'll see you after a few messages.
And this portion of Free Fire Radio is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Lighting and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822.
laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Reevaluate your current outdoor watering schedule. Make sure to water later in the evening or early in the morning, because when it's hot or windy, more than a third of the water can be lost to evaporation. Watering your landscape during the coolest part of the day allows water to soak into the soil and minimizes runoff. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Change your world in as few as 16 months. Simpson University's popular Aspire degree completion program was designed for busy working adults. Choose degree programs as diverse as organizational leadership, psychology, liberal studies, business and HR management, or the RN to BSN step-up program, all relevant in today's competitive job market. Student success fuels our program success. With a 96% graduation rate over the past 20 years, our Aspire degree completion program is a challenging yet rewarding adult learning experience. Custom tailor your degree success plan with our dedicated academic counselors who will personally guide you on your educational journey. Call today and speak with our admissions professionals. But don't delay. This spring's application deadline is approaching and classes will be filled soon. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON today to speak with an admissions professional. Or visit us online at simpsonu.edu/aspire. Simpson University School of Continuing Studies. Challenge your mind. Ignite your heart. Change your world.
Cheating a fever pitch is bringing and welcome me back. Dark. This is Trish Clark and Ken Murray. It's
I think Ken's ride is here, too.
The sirens just came by. We think Ken's ride is here. It's 64 degrees in downtown Reading, and we're joined this morning by Don L. Ewert from the Health and Human Services Department for Shasta County, which is a big, great big organization of combined mental health, public health, and
social services.
And social services. And Ken had just started talking about the homeless situation.
I am. And I, you know, I've, since I had that conversation with Ms. Sullivan last week, I've been looking into it. Salt Lake City, Phoenix. Phoenix just won an award. 94% of their homeless veterans are now housed. Why can't we just take a small bite instead of trying to solve the whole problem all at once? And let me give you a couple of examples. I have a friend who's in the military. I was in the military. He goes to the stand down every year at the Anderson Fairgrounds. He said he's not going to go anymore. Why? Same guys show up every year. We're not solving the problem. You got any ideas? Why can't we do what Phoenix does? Just bite off the homeless veterans' problems.
Well, I think that's a good idea to tear apart the problem and see what we can do for different parts of the segments of the homeless population, because there are different reasons why people are homeless. There have been efforts around veterans. I know that Richard Coons, who's the director of the Shasta County Housing Department got some new vouchers for veterans. I don't know the exact number for HUD Section 8 housing, which is helpful. I know there's been several efforts locally to build some transitional housing for veterans. And the great thing is that a lot of veterans are eligible for benefits if they have a disability, you know, a service-related disability and so forth. And our veteran service officer, Bob Dunlap, can help people with that if they go into his office. And so they actually can get some income to actually, you know, rent an apartment and so forth. So that's one way also to help veterans.
Well, and that gets down to part of the problem. Part of the problem is that veterans come back. They have PTSD. They have alcoholism. They have drug abuse problems. They got all these problems, right? Just getting them a housing voucher doesn't make them non-homeless anymore, because the way the housing vouchers are set up, I know the city of Reading, I don't know how the Shasta County does it, but, you know, if you get a HUD Section 8 voucher and you get drunk, they're going to throw you out of the house. What they did in Phoenix is they recognized that it takes a year to a year and a half to get through with massive social services surrounding the veteran with all the services. It takes a year to a year and a half to get them straightened out, you know, to get them to be able to cope with their PTSD or get them out of their alcoholism or drug abuse. 94% success rate. I think that's a doable thing as a community. And if we could just model veterans, homeless veterans, and have a success there, maybe it would give us a track record to figure out what to do with the rest of the homeless population. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I guess I asked myself, well, what's the barrier to doing that? Obviously, getting special vouchers that don't throw people out is part of the problem. But another part of the problem is we don't have enough Section 8 housing. Mm-hmm. I think what they did in some of these communities is they specifically built, they got, you know, there's massive tax credits involved for builders. They got the development industry involved with these particular vouchers, restricted them to veterans, the complex to veterans, and had, because of the special vouchers, the time to surround the veteran and help him or her get through their problems. Why can't we do that?
So we need a path. We need a path somehow. And we have that. I mean, you know, we do studies to identify which one of the homeless people are part of the veterans community. We've got the veterans service officer that you talked about. We've got all kinds of programs out there. Stand Down, and I can't even think of all the names of them, but there's a bunch of different organizations. It looks like it's time to put all those organizations that deal with veterans in the same room to coordinate those efforts so that, as we indicated, with children's services, adult services, put them all in one place so that veteran can go and get all the services he needs in one place without having to be bounced around.
Right, and the veteran VA clinic in town has a lot to offer as well for mental health services. Alcohol and drug services and so forth. But I think you're right. I think coordination probably could be improved. And we have a continuum of care for homelessness that Jessica Delaney heads up. And, you know, I could definitely talk to her about trying to pull folks together.
Yeah. What is the barrier to getting everybody together? I've seen it reported in various media sources over time about our community that sometimes all these do-gooders don't talk to each other. What's the problem?
Well, we talked about it earlier, and it's the issue of, I've got my piece of the pie, and I'm employing three people, and if I all get in the same room together, maybe I put three from here and three from here, I got 12 people in the room now, maybe it only takes four people to do this, and so, oops, now we've got eight people that have got funding, and they're not anxious to give up their job. Some of this stuff, in my mind, is simply job creating efforts, and nobody wants to give up their fiefdom.
Well, I think that we actually have a lot of collaboration in our community. We're a nice size for that, and people tend to know all the players, and so I think folks do want to collaborate and generally do. However, they're funded different ways. So like the VA is a federal agency. The county office is a county agency. And city housing is a city agency. And
You got nonprofit status and city, state money and federal money.
So people have their silos where their funding's coming from, and they don't always see all the other parts of it.
And so, but if somebody goes, let's say, to the veteran service officer, the other issue that we've got, which is paramount, is transportation. Okay, now they're at the veteran service office, and that's down on Breslauer Way, and they need to have an appointment with somebody that's downtown. How do they get there?
Well,
have the buses,
yeah,
but they're difficult at best, and sometimes that's above and beyond the effort that they can make with the issues they've got going in their mind.
Yeah, I just want to mention that the Veterans Office actually moved to downtown. They're in the old library with the district attorney. They have some new digs down there.
The telephone number is 605-4567 if you want to be part of this conversation.
And we have a question out of the chat room. What does it mean to get a voucher, and which hotels accept them?
Well, a voucher is a housing voucher. It's the equivalent of getting a check for rent, okay? And it can be to anybody who will take a HUD Section 8 voucher.
We don't have a list offhand, okay? So I think that's what the guest was, or what the person on the chat room was looking for.
Well, no, a lot of different apartment complexes or hotels or what take Section 8 housing vouchers.
Yeah, but part of the problem is there's a waiting list generally for those vouchers, and you know there'll be 2,000 people on the waiting list, and you sign in, and maybe 2 years from now you'll get a voucher.
And once you get the voucher, is there a place actually that's available for rent that you can use that voucher in?
I ran into three people who were homeless. I mean, they made their living dumpster diving with cans. Okay. They were living in an apartment house over on Boulder Creek. And what they did was they lived out in camps all summer long, collected their cans, saved their money, and rented an apartment and all lived together for the winter months until they could move back outside again.
And had they tried to get help in any other manner, or was that the lifestyle they chose?
I don't have any way of knowing, but I suspect there aren't any veterans who chose that lifestyle, and that's why I'm more gung-ho about solving the problems with veterans and maybe using it as a pattern for the rest of the homeless community. We got to start somewhere. In Phoenix, for example, they use navigators. Navigators are the people who sit down and talk. They're like caseworkers. They talk to the veteran, get them where they have to go to get the services they need. And it would be a lot simpler if there was housing where you could house all the veterans in the same place. You know, maybe there's, I don't even know what the percentages of veterans are here in town. How many homeless veterans do we have? Do you have any data on that?
As a matter of fact, I do. There's the Continuum of Care does studies of the homeless population. And in 2013, they discovered 17% of the people that they counted were veterans. So it was 68 people out of 741.
So it seems to me, because there are a lot of veterans organizations, there are a lot of retired veterans who are doing a lot of great work to help this veteran population. Doesn't seem too difficult to get all of them together to come up with a brainstorm, if the community gets behind it, that could address that, just the situation you're talking about.
We got 68 veterans who need a place to live and need to be surrounded with compassion, care, and services. And that is manageable.
And
solving
that
the whole veterans thing, or the whole homeless thing, may not be manageable at this time in our community. But I'm convinced that solving the veterans problem is doable if we could just get everybody on the same page of the playbook.
Yeah, and I'm certain that Donnell, you can come up with a list of those people that we need to talk to. I can think of a couple right off the top of my head, and I'm not going to start there because I'll forget two or three others that I should, and then I'll just get myself in trouble. So, and I can do that easily enough. I don't need to work at it. So, anyway, that sounds like a great thing, and we now have somebody on the line.
Let's pick him up on the back.
Okay. So we're going to go break just a tide here. Early here and take a few minutes and
we're going to come back
make
with
some money.
Brad Long, the Veterans Resource Officer.
There you go.
Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange has always believed that peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store with locations in Reading, Chico, Corning, and we're happy to announce the reopening of our store in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palos Cedro. To celebrate this, we're giving away a free personal stainless steel water filter bottle, a $32 value, with the purchase of a 200-serving emergency food bucket while supplies last. These are a convenient and versatile food storage product. Just add hot water for quick meals at home or grab and go if you have to evacuate. And don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And once again, in Palos Cedro at the Holiday Market Center. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
We at Farmers Insurance are hiring. It is rewarding taking care of your customers and being involved in the Reading community. Now is the time to take charge of your destiny. If you or any friends, family, or co-workers are interested, please have them contact us at the Reading Farmers District office at 243-1100. Again,
243-1100. We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, bum.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi folks, Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
12 minutes now in front of 8 o'clock on KCNR 1460, the home of community talk radio, about 65 degrees in Reading. This portion of the program brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Give them a call at 222-2750. They are a full-service jewelry store providing the finest selection of jewelry in Northern California. That's Four Winds Jewelry, proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio.
And welcome back. This is Trish Clark and Ken Murray, and we're joined this morning by Don L. Ewert from Health and Human Services. If you want to get in on this conversation, please give us a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. And we're going to go to the phone right now and welcome Brad Long. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Your question or comment?
A little comment on the numbers. Well, first of all, Veterans Resource Center, we house homeless veterans. That's our specific purpose in life, so to speak. And we pay attention to the numbers. And the point-in-time contact count that's done is kind of a snapshot. Now, what we housed just in this last year of homeless veterans was over 145 veterans that we housed. And that does not count dependents. With dependents, we housed about 220. So the problem is actually much larger than what we're picking up on the counts. Also, as far as concentrating specifically on that homeless population, we found that we've been doing our own informal surveys when we go into, like, the Good News Rescue Mission, other areas, out into the camps. We find that it's running closer to the national average of about 33% are veterans out there in the homeless population. So, and another comment is that we're actively right now looking at putting in a 12-bed transitional facility for the homeless veterans, and hopefully within the next 3 years building a large permanent supportive housing for veterans with disabilities with the therapeutic wraparound services where we can concentrate on them for up to like 18 months and then can keep them there and stay for those veterans who are unable to support themselves that need a little bit of extra help. We're going to be there to support them through that with ongoing therapeutic stuff for PTSD, TBI, situations like that. So, you know, we're here to cooperate with anybody that's wanting to help the homeless veterans.
Okay. Where do you house them?
Everything from actually, my company has three other sites with what's called grant per diem beds and healthcare for homeless veterans in Santa Rosa, Sacramento, and Eureka. But here in town, we work with private property managers that we actually, once we qualify the veteran, we can pay their first month's rent, their security deposit, help turn on the utilities, and pay up to 5 months of their rent. Now, we're actively working with the county in what their new program, Richard Coons there, that new program can pay up to approximately 12 months of their rent. On it's similar to a HUD voucher, but it's not a HUD voucher. It's called TBRA, Tenant-Based Rental Assistance. And so we can get them set up, get them rolling, and then they pick up that TBRA. But one of the things, the problem with the TBRA funding is that it's only for the county. It's not within the city of Reading.
So how does a veteran contact you? How do you get in touch with the veteran?
We get the veterans can come directly to our office at 153 Hartnell Suite 100, or they can call us at 223-3211.
How would they know you were there?
Well, we work in conjunction with Bob Dunlap at the County Veterans okay. Service Office. We work with them at all the social workers at the VA. We also work with the HUD Bash is another voucher, the homeless coordinator, Susan Peden. So we have our, you know, fair share of referrals coming in. Then we're also out there at all the homeless events.
Aren't you a private company?
No, we're a nonprofit organization.
Okay, so you're a private nonprofit. You're not a governmental agency.
No, but the bulk of our funding comes from governmental agencies.
Okay, and if it's working, how come we keep seeing the same veterans year after year at Stand Down?
Well, that's a good question. And what we're finding out more is that, and you'll hear talk of this amongst the community that's trying to help the homeless veterans. There's the ones that want help. There's the ones that can't take help because they are experiencing severe PTSD or TBI, mental health co-occurring issues. And then the ones that just won't want help, that don't. And they're usually in the criminal element out there.
And do you have I'm trying to get my brain wrapped around what you do. You're a private nonprofit.
Yep.
Okay. You get governmental funding, presumably yep. grant funding from, you know, you go out on the Begin Plead circuit and get whatever you're going to get. But there are other organizations in town who are vying for the same dollars, probably. And then there are government agencies in town, numerous of them that are allegedly helping veterans. And by and large, you're doing a good job. My observation is the biggest problem is getting everybody organized and on the same page of the playbook, because it's happening.
All these players are members of the COC, and we are in constant coordination with the other agencies that are administering funding that's specific for the veterans.
What did what do you call that? The COC?
COC, Continuum of Care.
All right. And Donnell, is that one of your groups?
Well, Jessica Delaney is sort of heads that up, and she's funded by the housing departments of the city and the county. And so that's a collaborative effort where all the players come together. And Brad, I'm interested in knowing if there's a veteran subcommittee of the COC that gets together all of the service agencies for the veterans.
Yeah, they call it Veterans Row in the COC. All the veterans get to sit together, and we are in constant collaboration. The HUD-VASH coordinator and also the TBRA coordinator from the county is in my office on a weekly basis, and we're always meeting. And also, even like EDD, Rick Ortega up there at the EDD, Kevin before that, we're in constant communications, and also the social workers at the VA and with Bob Dunlap's office.
What's your phone number?
The phone number here is 223-3211.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Brad.
Sure enough. Take care. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so Donnell, we've got about 5 minutes left, or about 3 minutes left. You came in here today probably with some things you wanted to let Shasta County residents know. You haven't had an opportunity at all to say anything. So how about you tell us what you think is important about your agency that Shasta County needs to know?
Well, we're definitely here to serve people. We have a lot of services for vulnerable populations, and we have services for everyone at the same time. So some of the things for vulnerable people, we serve the low-income population through the various public assistance programs that are state and federal programs. We have 5 offices around the county that provide those services. You can go to them in Anderson, Shasta Lake, Burney, and there's 2 in Redding, 1 in downtown Redding and 1 in Enterprise on Churn Creek right behind Upper Crust Pizza. And we also serve the child welfare population. So we have an inordinate number of children who suffer neglect and abuse, unfortunately. There was a study done of all the children born in 2006 and 2007. And unfortunately, 27% of those children were reported to protective services during the first 5 years of their lives. So 1 in 4 children in Shasta County. So it's really a significant problem here. Only 13% in California, so our rate is twice as high. So we try to provide those services for children so that they can have a safe place to live and grow up. And then we also have services for older adults. We have our adult protective services, which tries to prevent elder abuse. We have our in-home support services so that folks can stay in their homes and not live in nursing homes. And our public guardian program that provides probate and LPS conservatorships for people with mental illness and older people who can't take care of themselves, make financial decisions. And then as far as what serves everyone, we have our public health efforts. And public health is prevention, trying to prevent disease and injury before it happens. And we try to serve everyone by preventing chronic disease, communicable diseases, and injuries, motor vehicle injuries, suicide, various things. So we're here to serve, and you can find us online at Shasta, HHSA.net. And there's a variety of phone numbers in the phone book for all the different places.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite programs, you give shots. You give shot. I've traveled around the world quite a bit, and every time before I go to a new country, I come in and see those wonderful ladies down in Breslauer Lane, and they look up on their chart, oh, you're going to this place? Okay, we got to give you 4 shots.
We do give shots. We're giving fewer shots, believe it or not, in recent days. Ever since a partnership health plan took over as the managed care plan for Medi-Cal in our community, more people are getting shots from their own private physicians, which is really the way it should be. People should be getting all their care from their medical home. But we still serve as the place to go if you have nowhere else to go. But travel shots are actually given also at Mercy Family Health.
Okay, we're going to bail out on this hour. Mike Mangus from KRCR-TV is going to be our guest in the next hour.
Thanks, Donnell. We appreciate it. And those are topics that we could have a whole show about, any one of the departments or things you just brought up. Thanks for being our guest.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Missouri's governor says his deployment of the National Guard will help in restoring peace and order to a suburban St. Louis town torn apart by the shooting of an unarmed black teenager by a white police officer. Ferguson resident Anthony Ellis was among those critical of the police response in firing tear gas.
After the people was marching, you just saw seeing the tear gas, which they want to say is smoke gas. It's not smoke gas, it's tear gas.
But the police say that they ran into a lot of violence in addition to peaceful protesters. State Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson says multiple Molotov cocktails were thrown, among other things.
At that time, police deployed tear gas in an attempt to disperse the crowd and stop the violent action.
Protests over the fatal shooting in Ferguson have included violence for several days with little sign of calming despite a curfew. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has told reporters that after more than 2 years living as a refugee in the basement of Ecuador's embassy in London, he plans to leave as soon as he can.
I am leaving the embassy soon.
But a spokesman later says Assange would not leave without assurances from the British government that he would be allowed to travel to Ecuador, where he would be granted asylum. It's the end of an era for a man once considered a frontrunner to become the next Speaker of the House.
It's Eric Cantor's final day in Congress. The former House Majority Leader stepping down months early after his stunning defeat to newcomer David Brad in June's Republican primary. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe has scheduled a special election for November 4th to replace Cantor. Bratt's the odds-on favorite to win, and he'll assume office immediately. That gives him seniority over other midterm winners who won't begin their terms until January.
That's SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. Looking to the financial markets, it's been a booming session so far for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, up right now nearly 160 points. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When our daughter Emma was born, we took a look at our credit card debt. It was not a good situation. Finally, my wife Vicki said, call Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
We called them, they contacted all of our creditors, they stopped the collections calls, they got the interest reduced, and they put us on a plan for success.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
There's a bidding war heating up for the Family Dollar chain of discount stores.
Dollar General wants to buy Family Dollar and is offering nearly $9 billion for it. That trumps an earlier offer of $8.5 billion from Dollar Tree. The jockeying to take over Family Dollar comes as discounters look to fend off competition from companies like Walmart, which has been stepping up its efforts to attract lower-income customers. If Dollar General's offer is accepted, it would create a chain of some 20,000 stores in 46 states with sales of more than $28 billion. Linda Kenyon, SRN News.
U.S. home builders are feeling more confident in their sales prospects as they head into next year. The National Association of Home Builders, Wells Fargo Builders Sentiment Index rose this month to a figure of 55. That's up 2 points from a revised rating of 53 in July. Sales of new homes are running behind last year's pace, but any rating above 50 indicates more builders are confident. This is SRN News. Firefighters in Southern California battling against a fast-moving brush fire that has blackened more than 350 acres in the Angeles National Forest. The last update coming last evening from Andrew Mitchell with the Angeles National Forest.
It is at Highway 39, which is in the San Gabriel Mountain area of the Angeles National Forest. It started at 10 acres and has grown pretty quickly to around 200 acres.
And the fire was burning above Azusa and Glendora. It's forced hundreds of campers to give up their weekend plans and pull up stakes just to stay safe. Pole sitter Jeff Gordon finished first in the Michigan 400 Sprint Cup race at Michigan International Speedway. He says it was total team effort.
It wasn't an easy victory, even though we had a great race car.
You know, those restarts are so crucial, but also intense here, you know, with the speeds that we're carrying.
Gordon finished in front of Kevin Harvick and Joey Logano for his third win of the year. More details at SRNnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And good morning. This is Free Fire Radio. This is Trish Clark. I'm joined this morning with co-host Ken Murray. If you'd like to be a part of this conversation, you can reach us at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com.
Why isn't it Ken Murray and Trish Clark?
Because it's Trish Clark and Ken Murray.
She's been here longer.
Ladies first.
Oh. And mumble, we're going to go mumble.
I know, Ken, but gosh, what are you going to do? And we're going to jump now to Wells Fargo Advisors for the Market Minute.
And we welcome Chris Lasondak from Wells Fargo Advisors. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bob. Well, we're an hour and a half or so into a new trading week, and the markets are in positive territory. We're currently the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 151 points at 16,814. The S&P 500 is adding 15 points at 1970, while the NASDAQ Composite's up 39 points at 4,504. Volume on the New York Stock Exchange is 148 million shares. Looking at some of the more popular issues over on the NASDAQ, Apple's up 98 cents at 98.96, Amazon up $2.62 at 336.25, Netflix up $7.95 at 467.04, while Microsoft is up 12 cents at 44.91. Of local interest, Home Depot up 48 cents at 84.17, North Valley Bank up 24 cents at 21.25, and Reading Bank of Commerce down 3 cents at $6.06. In the bond market, the 10-year U.S. government bond is priced to yield 2.38%. The 2-year Treasury is yielding 0.41. Oil's down $1.73 a barrel at $93.59. And precious metals are lower, with gold down $5.73 an ounce at $12.98.66. Well, silver is down a penny at $19.89. This is Chris Lasondak of the Reading Office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
And thank you very much, Chris. Listen for the Wells Fargo Market Minute weekday mornings at 7:10, 8:10, and 9:05 right here on KCNR 1460. It's brought to you by Wells Fargo Advisors on Park Marina Drive in Reading. Call him at 243-7561. Checking the weather real quick, we're going to stay out of the century mark today. We will be in the mid-90s, overnight lows in the 60s. And currently in Reading, we have 70 degrees. No rain in sight for the next several days. And we're going to switch phone lines right now and pick up Sally talking about tonight's Tea Party meeting. Hello, Sally. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you so much. Tonight at the Tea Party on Bonnie View Road, 2570 South Bonnie View Road, we're going to be hosting Lydia Gutierrez, who is running for the state superintendent of schools. And she's a great speaker, and she's also very knowledgeable about Common Core and would like to do away with Common Core. So we're asking people to come on out, learn more about it, and find out what we can do to support Lydia in her run for office.
Okay, thank you. Nice to hear from you, Sally.
All right, thank you very much. 6 o'clock tonight.
All right, we're joined this morning with Mike Mangus from KRCR Television News. And just a couple of things. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Trish. Thank you for having me today.
Good morning, Mike.
Well, you say that now, but yeah. I haven't even got started on you yet.
Yeah.
You know, I read about you a little bit. I actually looked up your bio on the KRCR website.
Maybe slightly out of date, but go ahead.
Well, it said you had, well, first of all, I was dazzled to know that you'd been there for 39 years.
Is it that long?
39, you know, the way things are going, you're going to have a bronze sculpture of yourself out in front of the station, you know.
Good, people can throw tomatoes at that instead of me then.
Well, no, it's going to fulfill one of your two lifelong goals. And I'm wondering if you set new goals since the
century. Yeah.
I mean, your two goals were, according to you and your bio, to see the Giants win a World Series, Well,
which
saw
has
that.
Happened.
That's happened.
I can die a happy man.
Second thing was you personally want to meet every KRCR News Channel 7 viewer.
I'm trying. I would love to do that. I love talking to people and getting out and seeing people.
Maybe the bronze statue would get you someplace.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
You've got three kids. What, two I grandkids?
Do. Yeah, three grandkids. See, it's been updated. It needs to be updated, I think. I have one grandchild by marriage and then two biologically from my son, a boy and a girl.
Okay. And you've been inducted into the Hall of Fame of Shasta High School, Shasta College, any place that induct anybody. They've inducted you because you were a sports reporter for some 20 years.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, all those are sports things.
Is it more fun to do sports or news?
Probably more fun to do sports, but there are times that some news stories are more fun than sports, because after a while, sports, and I loved it. I believe it's divine intervention or whatever, that I was able to do sports until my youngest child graduated from high school. And that was just really fun to have, you know, the kids who were over playing in a basketball game, who were playing in a basketball game the next night, they're at our house eating pizza the night before. And so mm-hmm. I knew them. And so when she graduated, though, that was going to go away. And so I eventually got into news, and I really enjoy covering issues, like doing feature stories. I'm not so much on, you know, people getting hurt or killed in car crashes and fires and all that, of which, you know, that's a big part of television news.
Well, yeah, if it bleeds, it leads.
That's exactly right.
Now, how do you decide whether to show a decapitated body or not?
Well, that's a pretty easy one. We wouldn't.
Why?
But because it's dinner time when people are watching the news, and I think we can do it in a way that conveys the message without being so graphic about it.
You show more gore at 11 o'clock at night than you do at 6? Or
I'm asleep by then. I'm
who knows what's on at 11 o'clock?
We might. not necessarily. I think there are certain standards that we adhere to at any time.
Okay.
And I think that's a good point, because they were talking about something on the news the other day, and I think it had to do with Robin Williams' death and how it was all so graphic, and the news was all upset about what the coroner's office had released. And that was the point the person was trying to make. You know, the news can cover it. You don't have to show everything you see.
Exactly. And you don't have to relay everything. I believe that's state law. I'm trying to remember about that one. That's like a state law. They have to tell
you. The coroner has to release it all.
Yeah.
You, the news media, don't have to pass it all on.
Right.
As I suspected, you manage the release of news.
Not necessarily in that way. I would say if I was in that situation, I would probably run what the coroner said the first time, and then after that, not necessarily have to go into all the details.
I've heard about slow news days. You know, and sometimes there's more news than you know what to do with.
Yes.
What do you get up in the morning and find out if you got enough stuff to fill an hour of news, and then go fill it up with fluff? How does it work?
Isn't it amazing how every night there's always an hour and a half worth of news? Because we go from 5 to 6 and then 6:30 to 7, so we have to have, you know, 90 minutes worth of news.
But a lot of that's weather.
No kidding. Yeah, the world is run by consultants, and the consultants say everybody is excited about weather. So we do a lot of weather. So
yeah, we do a story, first. Then we do the weather, and then we do a story, and then we do the weather. And then
In the morning, it really is that way, yeah.
But you didn't answer my question.
Okay, and what was the question?
The question was on a slow news day. At what point in your day do you determine that there isn't an hour and a half worth of news in the day?
Well, we have producers that are working literally from about now all day long to find out what's going on and to put things into the newscast. So it depends on a couple of things. How many reporters we have on any individual day, which would then equate to how many local stories we would probably have. And then what's going on also. You talk about weather. You know, there have been a couple of times when we've had tornadoes in Glenn County, Butte County, and so it's all weather. We go wall-to-wall, no commercials, nothing, just tornado-related weather. And then on a normal day, each reporter will produce a couple of stories, and so that we kind of meet in the morning, and then that can change during the day, but each reporter gets a couple stories. We kind of figure, okay, that's probably going to be a two-minute story. That one's going to be a minute story. And so the producers are slotting those stories in the newscast as the day goes along. So if we come up short locally, then we have network feeds and that sort of thing. And we do big network stories, especially from 5 to 6. We don't at 6:30.
Quick question. Do you have the equivalent of a city desk editor who kind of prioritizes the stories, or how does that process work? Who decides what the stack is?
We have an assignment editor who kind of coordinates what the stories are, and then we have producers who stack the newscasts. And again, that's subject to change all the way up until airtime when you have breaking news and that sort of thing. And there are different producers for different newscasts. Depending again on our hiring situation, we would have a producer who would do the 5 to 5:30, another one would do 5:30 to 6, and another one would do 6:30 to 7.
Okay, and we're going to cut to a break right now, and then we're going to come back and go to the phone and talk to Ruth. But yeah, on the other side, right, just hang on just a moment.
And this portion of the program is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties, guarantees, they offer service 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. Alliance Heating and Air, call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. You're listening to Free Fire Radio. Ken and Trish in for Carl and Linda, who are off on the love boat somewhere. Try to get an update on that situation back after these messages.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal begin after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Redding. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop, located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
The City of Redding Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Look at what's in your landscape and water according to the plant's needs. Shrubs and more established trees usually require less water than a lawn. Spread mulch around your plants and trees to increase the moisture-retaining ability of the soil and prevent weeds. And while you're at it, adjust your irrigation controller. 4 5-minute sessions of watering may be much more efficient than watering for 20 consecutive minutes. Be water smart. Visit RedingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Redding Water Utility.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at WallnerPlumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back. This is Ken Murray and Trish Clark filling in for Carl and Linda. Our guest this morning is Mike Mangus from KRCR Channel 7 News.
I just had to let him do that one time.
Mumble,
you know, if we
mumble.
Went alphabetical.
He's been whining a lot, so I had to let him open the segment.
If we went alphabetical, he would be third.
There you go.
We're not going alphabetical. We're going with Ruth, who is on the phone. Good morning, Ruth.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Mike.
Hello,
I just
Ruth.
Have to say, love you on KRCR. And just think you're very professional. And I wanted to, real quick, sorry, my dog's going nuts. They're getting ready to walk. But I wanted to get your, you covered the Anselmo issue in great length, and you did a great job. And I wanted to get your opinion on its closing. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, it's not going to close.
It's not closing.
Yes, it's not going to close at all. Ruth and her dogs have already left for their walk. But it's not, the Anselmo Vineyards is not closing by any means. It will be sold. It will be auctioned off on, in, what is it, August?
September 25th.
Yes, September 25th. There will be an online auction, I believe, is how it works. But in no way is it closing at all.
Okay, I want to talk about your personal life.
Great.
You have managed to integrate your personal life and your professional life in a way that many people envy, I think. You're an ordained deacon in the Catholic Church.
That's true.
And that means you can do things that regular Catholics can't do, right?
Yes,
what are those things you can do?
I can marry people and bury people and baptize people. I cannot consecrate the bread and wine, and I cannot hear confession.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a big part of your life. You started at St. Joseph's School.
I did. I'm a proud graduate of St. Joseph's School, class of 1969.
Do they have a bronze statue of
you
there also?
Not at all. I don't know if they'd claim me.
The whole thing of how does your wife put up with all of your things?
Lord have mercy. I don't know. She's a saint. She's patient beyond belief. And she's very. One of her favorite lines is when we're having to do something, it's like, I'm doing this for you. But
and payback's good.
Yes, it is.
All right. What's your golf handicap?
Oh, man. It would be stratospheric. I don't get to play golf very often at all. I used to play quite a bit. Used to play a lot. Both my sons are very good golfers. One of them is in the business of trying to take money out of other people's pockets as a developmental director, and so he plays golf all the time and calls it work. And the other one can hit the ball a mile. Not always sure where it's going to go, but a absolute mile.
Okay. Now, let's go back to the news. You have a different producer for different segments of the evening news.
Yes.
Okay. And the producer decides what stories to include.
Yes.
And when to put them in the newscast.
Yes.
Okay. And that changes up to the time of the news. Now, mm-hmm. you read the news off what, a teleprompter?
Yeah.
Okay. And you sometimes don't know what's coming up next.
Well, we usually know. I mean, we have a paper script, and then the little earphone that you might notice that we have in our ears, the producer is talking into our ear, telling us what's going on and if things are changing or whatever. Hey, there's a breaking news. There's been a fire in Red Bluff, and so then they'll bring us out some copy or whatever. So it does change, but it's generally not like just handed to us and we don't know anything about it.
Well, that's like rubbing your belly and patting your head, right? I mean, you're talking about something and the producer's talking to your ear about a completely different subject.
That can happen that way. Fortunately, and it's more like Jennifer and I are co-anchoring, so if there's something coming up and I'm reading, she'll be talking more to Jennifer than me, so I can concentrate more on what I'm reading and try to interpret.
Who decides which stories you and Jennifer are going to go out and cover? Do you get to pick the ones you want, or do you just work with the other reporters too?
Because I've been there since Dirt, I generally...
1975 is when Dirt was admitted.
I generally come up with my own stories. Jennifer doesn't go out and cover stories. She's the news director, and we have so many things going on beyond Reading that she has no time to go out and cover stories. She's very fortunate to just show up at 5 o'clock and be able to do the news. You know, most stations, the news director is not also an anchor. So I usually tell them what I'm covering that day. They trust me that it's something of value and interest. And then the producer slots it where they want to.
So a typical day for you, Mike, is you get up at whatever, and how what does a typical day go like?
He goes to work at 2:30. I found that out.
No. I go to work. Actually, I'll leave here and go to work.
Wait a minute. I called over there the other day to get a hold of you.
Did you ask?
Then they said he doesn't come in until 2:30.
Okay. Here's another thing. There are too many Mikes in the world, and if you just said... Can I speak to Mike? They could have been assuming Mike Kruger, the weather guy, who does come in at 2:30. No, I come in at about 9:30 in the morning. Typical day is 9:30 till 7:30, something like that. We get done at 7, and then there's always phone calls and emails and all that to catch up.
And do you spend most of that time at the station, or do you spend most of it out in the community?
A typical day would be I would either go into the station, get my equipment, and leave to shoot a story, or if it's something early, you know, like tomorrow morning, the supervisors meet at 9 o'clock. You're familiar with that. I would take it home at night and then just go straight from home to the board meeting. Or what if there's an early morning story, go wherever that is. And the idea is to shoot the video in the morning to the early afternoon for me at the latest, and then go in and be able to edit it. And then start going through our evening newscast. My self-imposed deadline to do that is about 4 o'clock when I need to be sitting there just going through what the show's going to be like.
If you have a question for Mike, it's 605-4567, our telephone number, or you can get on the chat line at kcnr1460.com.
Mike, as somebody who's kind of worked in a similar business, how has the technology changed? I mean, when you started, it was 16-millimeter cameras.
That's right.
Now you've got high-definition cameras that fit in one hand. The back-breaking machines of just a few years ago that were like carrying a Yugo on your shoulder are giving way to these high-definition, very fast editing cameras. How has that changed? Now, for one thing, it's allowed managers to cut staff to the bone. But how has it changed how you, as a storyteller, news person, how has it changed your workflow?
Well, as I look over your shoulder and you see all the computer screens, when I started out in radio, you remember carts and all that kind of stuff. So it's the same thing in television, only visually. What it's done is allowed us to do more. So than making life easier, it just lets you do more because things do work much faster and much better. Yeah, when I started, it was film. Then it went to videotape. And videotape back then was a big camera, a big separate tape deck, and then it was literally run by a car battery. And so it was all on a cart. And it was very heavy, and I really felt bad for the poor female reporter.
I was just going to say, the ones I used to feel so sorry for were those little bitty gals. Yeah. And oh, my God, they're in heels, and they're trying to look professional. And back in that day, we all dressed that way. And then there were this pounds of stuff that they could, bigger than they were, trying to get it into the courthouse or up the steps or... Hey, that's got to have changed their life dramatically.
Oh, yeah. And it's much more reliable now. The knock on Formica here. The computer, of course, when it goes, like everything goes, if you have a computer meltdown. Yeah. But generally speaking, it's much more reliable than tape was or than film was.
And once again, if you have a question on everything you've always wanted to know about network news or covering the thing, Jennifer, is Jennifer on vacation? That's a question from the chat room.
Jennifer was off. See, she really is super busy. We have a station that we're trying to kind of reopen in Eureka on the North Coast, and then we have our station in Chico, and she literally has about 15 people to hire. So she was supposed to take all of last week off, and she ended up taking Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I think. She had to work a couple of the days. So she was on a brief little vacation just to get away, but she'll be back today.
Good. All right. So, and if you have a question, you can call us at 605-4567. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back.
And this portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, 2463 Appens Avenue in Reading, 244-9478. It is man's last stronghold. It's where Carl gets his haircut, where I get his haircut. Not sure about Ken. It is 8:30, and you're listening to Free Fire Radio back after these messages.
As we girls get older, our eyesight weakens. This requires larger diamonds.
Shop the Goldmark annual estate sale going on now with thousands of vintage, unique, and one-of-a-kind jewelry items. Special six-month deferred interest financing is available. Like us on Facebook for daily specials and be sure to sign up in the store for your chance to win a free one-ounce gold bar. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. The Goldmark annual estate sale. Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Rumor has it, Lulu established a roadhouse to provide good food and drinks in a relaxing atmosphere at affordable prices. Today, Lulu's continues the tradition, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with specials posted daily. Lulu's Catering serves special events at your site or in their banquet room with customized menus to fit your budget. And they have the best Bloody Mary in town. Find Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment on Pine Street, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue.
Do you feel like the digital world has left you behind and just a bit bewildered? Locals is here to get you and your business up to date. In an age where 87% of consumers expect businesses to have a website, Locals can help. Website design and implementation, logo creation, VHS to DVD transfers, and much more. You don't need to learn all the digital tricks of the trade. You just need to contact Locals at 515-8335 or online at localsreading.com. For everything digital for yourself or your local business, it's Locals Online Service Company.
Honor Flight Northern California is currently seeking donations for Shasta County Community Flight. It is our intention to honor all those remaining World War II veterans in Shasta County with a free 3-day trip to Washington, D.C. Donation checks or money orders can be made out to Honor Flight Northern California. Call 357-3380 on where to send them or drop them off at Classy Cafe on Athens Avenue, Jones Fort on East Cypress Avenue, or New West Medical Incorporated on Churn Creek Road.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media sound bites every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We dig into the politics of public policy, land use, and Agenda 21. We cover smart growth, immigration, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and the many, many scams of sustainable development.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not so famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
Join us for We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Join Erin Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Sexy. 833 KCNR 1460, the home of Community Talk Radio. This portion of the program is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, your place for great coffee and more at Espresso Joe's. serving caramel macchiato, and I know I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but they've got every other coffee you can imagine. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. T&B, where veterans always get discounts.
And welcome back. This is Trish Clark and Ken Murray, or Ken Murray and Trish Clark.
Thank you.
Or whatever. This is Free Fire Radio, and Carl and Linda are out on their cruise over in the British Isles and on their way to Normandy, and we'll be checking in on their status from time to time. If you'd like to join us, give us a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. And we're joined by Mike Mangus this morning.
Mike, over the years, you've interviewed lots of people running for political office or people who are in political office. I mean, I've been interviewed. Trish has been interviewed numerous times.
Sure.
And I'm sure you have thoughts about politicians, private thoughts, because you try to be unbiased. But it occurs to me that from a reporter's point of view, especially a television reporter's point of view, there's two kinds of politicians. The kind who can talk in sound bites and those who can't talk in sound bites.
And those are the ones that are trying to learn how to talk in sound bites. It's funny. You can kind of tell when they've gone to a class or what have been kind of prepped on it, because I'm going to talk and talk and talk, stop. Talk and talk and talk, stop. You know, they're trying to get their sound bites down. So, yes, you are right. Sometimes it makes editing a little more difficult, and sometimes you have to cut things in and out because they'll start talking and then they'll kind of veer off in one direction, and then they'll come back again to the main point, and you kind of want to get the veer off part out of there. So, yeah, they do that, but, you know, that's fine.
And from the politician's point of view who's been interviewed, it's survival to learn to talk in sound bites, because quite often when they edit what you say, your message comes through not quite exactly what you meant to say.
Yeah, and that's something, at least I certainly try to never skew anything. I try, if somebody has something they want to say, I try to let them say it. I may not agree with it, but I want them to have the opportunity to get their message out.
Do you have a sense for when somebody's just lying to your face?
I don't know. I'm so gullible. I tend to trust people. I do. I'm not very good at that, if they're totally BSing me. I think you can kind of tell that, I think, when they're just talking in circles and they don't really want to answer a question. But as far as like lying and saying, yes, I was there, or no, I wasn't there.
But one of the difficulties of television as opposed to, for example, print, is that, at least my perception is, the story, if the story's longer than a minute and a half, it's too long. And some of the issues can't be answered in a minute and a half.
You're exactly right. It's very difficult. And I tell people that. That's often my biggest challenge, is trying to compress something into 2 minutes at the most. You get into very complicated issues, and it's virtually impossible.
Does that mean you don't ask complicated questions?
No. You just try to do the best you can to summarize it, and you have to try to prioritize what you think are the most important points and do those. That's about all you can do.
But to go with that and say, okay, you take the same story and it's on the 7 o'clock news or the 5 o'clock news, and then it turns right around and it's in the Record Searchlight, and they still can't get it straight. Even when it's explained in more detail, they read the caption and the first line, and they don't read the rest of the story anyway. So quite often, they still don't know what's going on. They get as much information as you as they do from the paper.
I mean, I can't talk about the paper for them, but certainly for us, I just try to put whatever I can down.
We have a phone call. We're going to go to the phone and talk with Dolores.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, Dolores.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I just want to make a comment about your what you do for the citizens in Shasta County. For me, I think you've done a great job, and you've always been there for me, and you really try to get everything out that I try to say and try to get the information to the public. And I want to say I really appreciate you and continue to... serve the people. I do believe you serve the people. You really, truly do that. And I want to thank you for your service, and I will continue to call you and continue to give you stories.
Well, I appreciate that, Dolores. Can I say who you are with your last name as well? Or do
absolutely.
Oh, that's Dolores Lucero there, the former City of Shasta Lake councilwoman. I just try to tell stories, whatever they may be. I try to keep myself out of it as much as I can and let people get their point across.
And you do that, and you absolutely give everybody an opportunity, and I think that's where I really appreciate, because you do treat me very fair, and I, as I would say, I am being honest, and I'm truthful, and I'm one of those politicians. I don't know if I call myself politician, but I'm actually one of those persons who wants to be in politics, to get the information to the public, and you are the one who I could count on to get the truth out. And so, therefore, I want to tell you thank you very much for your service.
Thanks for calling in, Dolores.
Thank you.
All right.
I have another question. Tell me about stories that you did about your kids. How did they like having stories told about them?
Well, they enjoyed it in the sense that any stories pretty much that I did about my kids were sports related, because it was when they were in high school and college and active in sports. I would just do highlights. I would try to go to all their games that I could possibly get to. And I was like, I was always the assistant coach in like youth baseball or whatever, because I couldn't get to the early games because I was still at work. I could only get to the late games. So I would go to as many of their games as I could, and if they were high school or college, then I would often shoot highlights. And sometimes they would get in the highlights for what they did, and sometimes they wouldn't. But I think they enjoyed that. And that's one thing I really miss about sports, was just my goal was to get as many kids' names in a story as I could, especially like in football. If somebody made a great tackle or a lineman made a great block, I mean, that's probably the only time they're ever going to get their name mentioned on TV. And so that was really fun. So, you know, they were all a part of that, and I think they liked that.
I think that's what I liked about the local broadcast is with the radio and TV, because you're right. You always hear about the quarterback. You always hear about the receiver. You never hear about the guy on the line or a great tackle or, you know, and it takes all of them.
Yes, it does. And that, I really miss that about sports. We do virtually zero sports now at all.
Has there ever been I know there has been. I guess I'll find out if you want to talk about it. What's the story you most regret ever having done? We'll pick the last year, if you like.
Yeah, well, I know. It'll be the last week, because I can't remember anything.
Yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. There was, rightly or wrongly, I try not to get involved in a couple of different stories. The children, what is it, the parents and who gets the child and all that, child custody stories, because we get people every once in a while email or call or whatever, and this isn't fair, and this judge is doing that, and it's just like, I don't want to get involved in that. In fact, I haven't done any stories on that ever. The other one is landlord-tenant, and I did do a story once. I mean, the living conditions at this apartment building were appalling. There were literally like mushrooms growing out of the carpet where this thing had been wet. But it was just such a hairball, because you really don't know exactly what's going on. And so I don't think I've done one since then. These disputes where it's he said, she said are so often, although, you know, if I knew of somebody living in just really horrible conditions, it wouldn't be that I wouldn't do the story, but it's just, Those are difficult, hard, and not fun. And
have you done a story that you look back on and think, I really made a difference?
Sometimes when we do the stories about somebody who needs medical care or whatever, you know, so we'll do and say, hey, there's an event or a fundraiser of some kind, and then people just this area is amazing for that. I've never really lived anywhere else, so I don't know what it's like elsewhere, but here, I mean, it's just people just will open their hearts and their wallets so often. And so those kind of stories, yeah, that's really neat to see. Hey, we really helped them raise the money so this child could get a heart operation or whatever. Just those kind of stories.
I concur with that. This is an incredible area. As we talk constantly about the high unemployment rate, the fact that there's people in poverty and everything. But whenever you have an issue and you have something that somebody in the community needs help, they're incredibly generous and they step forward and make a difference almost always.
If you have a question for Mike, it's kcnr1460.com, the chat room, the telephone line, 605-4567. We're going to take an obscene profit break shortly.
Well, if I can jump in real quickly, Mike, my observation from my time in the business was that fires, or large event fires, are when you saw this community really jump in and people helping people, the evacuations out in Jones Valley, the happy fire, how people all started contributing, not waiting to be saying, what can I do to help? And you see that over and over. And it's been, of course, my privilege and your privilege as well to cover this amazing community through in tough times.
There was I just did a story recently with a guy who just is moving back into a rebuilt, or actually a big mobile home, from the Clover Fire, and he was talking about how, you know, the people that came and poured the concrete pad did it at virtually no cost, and the people that helped set up the trailer did, you know, just everybody pitching in when somebody's in a disaster situation like that. Yeah, the neat part of this community just really shines through.
It is, and specifically happens during these times. We've got fire victims now. We've got the Isler Fire up in Burney. We've got a lot of that community really is coming together. Speaking of which, you do a lot of coverage, and that's something this community is known for, are all these major fires.
Yes, and that's when things really get hopping, because you're getting information, but you're getting it in bits and pieces, and you're not sure about the accuracy of some things because things are just flying so fast. And so that's when things really get interesting on the air, is when you talk about the producer talking in your ear and stuff being thrown at you, because, boy, it's just happening so quickly. And especially when people's, you know, lives are at stake, when you're saying you need to get out of this area, this road is being evacuated, this one is, and all that. And that's it's not fun in the sense that people are potentially losing their property or even their lives, but it makes you feel kind of worthwhile or whatever, that you're doing something good when you're really trying to help people in emergency situations.
All right. Well, thank you very much. 8:46, and this portion of the program brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading. They are our firearms dealer of choice when it comes to selecting that new long gun or pistol, having their gunsmith work on our guns, or buying ammo. John Bastiani provides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock at fair prices. Bastiani Arms, 222-8222, and we will be back.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. The summer is a good time to give your irrigation system a tune-up. Remove anything blocking the sprinkler heads and fix any broken ones. Look at the spray heads on your sprinklers while they're working. Adjust them to avoid overspray onto driveways and sidewalks. Excess water flowing into the gutter doesn't help your landscape, and it can pollute our creeks and rivers. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget Brew.
Yes, Brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with sit-down dinner, live and silent auction, and basket drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media sound bites every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We dig into the politics of public policy, land use, and Agenda 21. We cover smart growth, immigration, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and the many, many scams of sustainable development.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not-so-famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
Join us for We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Join Erin Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
You're listening to KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio.
8:50 a.m. This portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Reading Crown Motors. Looking for a new or previously owned car, truck, or SUV? Look no further than Reading Crown Motors, your Ford, Dodge Ram, Lincoln, Nissan, and Honda dealership. Why go any further than 555 Cypress Avenue to make the best deal in the North State on your new vehicle? Not only great deals, but an outstanding service department. Reading Crown Motors, 223-2177.
And it's 70 degrees in downtown Reading, and this is Trish Clark and Ken Murray. We're joined here with Mike Mangus this morning.
Mike, somebody came in on the chat room and wanted to know if you still thought the Sundial Bridge was a waste of money.
I don't believe I've ever said that. What I said back at the time was it's, for the most part, the McConnell Foundation's money, and they can spend it how they want. All I wanted was a bridge across the river that I could cross, which I use that bridge regularly, and it's great to have a bridge there to be able to cross. But I would be fine with just a stone kind of bridge or whatever. And truthfully, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to the Sundial Bridges, my favorite bridge in Reading is the Diesel Horse Bridge just because of its history and everything, and I just like it.
Well, and I think that if they were going to build a bridge, just my own opinion, we should have been able to drive a car across it, because I think that's an issue down there that we've dealt with for years. You get a bunch of people in there. If we ever had a major incident with all those people down there, getting everybody out of there is going to be a challenge.
Oh, humbug to both of you. It's a beautiful addition to our community, and I'm glad we have it.
It's so much fun to go over there and listen to people, all the different languages and accents and everything. So, yeah, I think that's great.
So you had a question?
I have a question for you guys now. I feel more comfortable asking questions.
Is it me or Trish you have the question for?
Yes. Both of you. Both of you, as former elected officials, do you miss it? Are you glad you're out of office now? I want answers from both of you. Ken's pointing at Trish.
Well, I will tell you that what I miss are the people. I loved being a part of their communities. I liked learning about new issues and new things. It was something different all the time. I mean, I learned about trees and sewer plants and water and got an education about all kinds of things I never knew anything about, running dumps and knowing what you're talking about before you could make decisions. What I don't miss is the bureaucracy. I don't miss people who won't take the time to learn what they're talking about and run for office and do it for their own personal motives And having to deal with some of them, work some of them, I just want to slap them upside the head sometimes.
Was there a growth curve for a while? Like, did you feel like a fish out of water when you're first elected for a while until you're comfortable?
I think so, yeah.
I think it depends on your background. You look at the difference between those people who are elected, for example, to the city council, who have previously served on a school board or a planning commission or a committee or something, where they learn about how to debate a subject, if you will, or how to communicate with one another in a respectful fashion. Look at those folks compared to those whose first elective office is the city council. And much steeper learning curve where it's their first elective office. I mean, they don't even know how to be civil to each other, for starters. And they don't understand about the whole process of communicating whatever it is their point is without being offensive. You know, yeah. Just make your point. Don't be argumentative. Just make your point. Either you're going to get two other people to agree with you or you're not. Let it go.
Do you miss it, Ken? Do you miss being on the city council?
Not particularly.
Yeah.
I mean, what I found was that this is an old thing, but, you know, you irritate half the people one week and the other half the people the next week. Unfortunately, we're so suspicious as a society that we think that there is some hidden objective in public service, at least in my case, you know, mm-hmm. and I frankly think in almost everyone's case who runs for office, they want to make a difference in their community.
Yeah.
People run because they want to do the right thing. They want to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Different people are more or less able to do that because of their communication skills, because of their brain. I mean, we've had people elected who I swear don't have an IQ of 100. But people run for the right reasons.
Not always.
Well, generally. I really disagree.
I think that, well, and you, that's right up to the federal level.
You've been wrong before. Go ahead.
I know that, but I'm entitled to my opinion, and I would just say that I think right up to the federal level, that's probably what's wrong. We've got too many people running who are doing it for their own motives and reasons to accomplish one particular thing, and they're not interested in helping other people.
A single issue kind of person?
I think so.
One thing, huh?
Yeah. Well,
And they do it. It's all about me. It's all about lining my pocket and doing things. I mean, why else do we have so many of them go in, not being very wealthy, and then when they come out the other side of it, they're millionaires.
Well,
Something's wrong with that picture.
No, but there's more to it than that. I still think, especially at the local level, people run because they want to make a difference. What happens after they get in office is they change. Mm-hmm. And they catch a disease I call it the smartest man in the world disease, right? Because when you're running for something, you subject yourself to criticism, hostile environments, everything else. You know, you go to all these debates and whatever, and people are yelling at you and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But once you're in office, you don't have the same level of complaints anymore because people want to curry your favor. And so the naysayers are more muted by and large. And so it gives certain people a warped sense of how right they are because everybody's kissing their butt all of a sudden. They think that they have the answer to everything. And I call that the smartest man in the world disease. You know, they were looking for something going into office and had pure motives, but once they become the smartest person in the world, okay, then they don't listen to anybody except people who agree with them.
Uh-huh.
And it creates a situation that they totally become useless. And in fact, the higher up the political ladder you go, the more useless you get to be. I mean, that's my opinion.
Well, and that's my true. And I think, from my point of view, again, I'll go back to the fact that I think if they would spend more time trying to mix with their constituency, and they tend not to the longer they've been in office because they do think they know it all. I think at the county level, certainly more than when I was at the city level, I represented five separate communities. there was no way that I could make decisions for those five communities if I didn't spend time in those communities learning what those individual people thought about. Then, by and large, I have to make the decision because it impacts everybody in Shasta County, but you have to take all of that information into it.
Sure.
And you can't learn it if you're not out with them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that by going to a meeting on Tuesday.
It's the same thing that I do, kind of, when you talk about I want to meet every single viewer. I say, yeah, because I want to be out with the people and I want to know what they're thinking. And yeah, I get that.
Well, we want to tell our listeners that they do need to meet you. If they see you out and about, come up and introduce themselves.
Say hi.
Because sooner or later, you're only going to be a place where pigeons perch.
Yeah, that's right.
A bronze statue.
Well, we want to tell everybody that tomorrow, Ken, we are going to be joined by Silas Lyons from the Record Searchlight at 8 o'clock.
And before that, we're just going to argue with each other.
Oh, and that, So you need to tune in at 7 o'clock because we're going to actually see if Ken and I can find one or two things we can actually agree on.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.
No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A private autopsy concludes that Michael Brown was shot multiple times by a police officer in Ferguson, Missouri.
At least six shots. Could be more, but at least six.
Brown family attorney Benjamin Crump, there are still a number of unanswered questions, including whether Brown was surrendering or was charging the police officer. The release of the independent autopsy follows another night of turmoil in the St. Louis suburb. Later today, President Obama will be briefed on the case by Attorney General Eric Holder. Ukraine's National Security Council says dozens of civilians have been killed in a rebel attack on a convoy of people trying to flee war-torn eastern Ukraine.
We are hearing from the government that a column of civilians, a line of buses as they described it, came under attack. They said it was from rebel positions. They were fired on by what the government says were Grad multiple missile launchers and mortars.